The reality is that Bitcoin solves a critical problem that is affecting everybody, every business, every municipal government. And so, yeah, I hope that you and I are having this conversation 8 years from now, talking about how you guys just cracked 10,000 attendees and the Bank of Canada owns 1,000 Bitcoin. Who knows? We are a week away from the Canadian Bitcoin Conference in Montreal at the Rialto Theater, October 16th, 17th, and 18th. And this week we are joined by the founder, Daniel Carlin, for a conversation on what we can expect at next week's event. It's my second time attending. I'm really excited. Bitcoin conferences are one of my favorite part of the culture and community and what happens in Bitcoin. And this week's conversation is a little bit of a dive into conference culture, what's happening in Bitcoin right now. And for anyone who might be listening and thinking about attending, some reasons why you might want to go. Hope you enjoy. All right, welcome to another episode of the Block Reward Podcast. This week, we are joined by the founder of the Canadian Bitcoin Conference, which is just a week away, Daniel Carlin. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Scott. Appreciate you having me on.
So this is the third go-around for the Canadian Bitcoin Conference?
Yeah, third go-around. I think you've been to all three, haven't you? You were in Toronto.
No, I missed the first one in Toronto.
Yeah. So, first one was in Toronto back in 2023. I think it's so long ago now. It was like May, or I think it was May. And then the next one was 2024 in Montreal in June. And then this one, yeah, it's coming out. It'll be, I guess, next week. And that is in Montreal. Same again, same location in October. So we've kind of moved it. The reason a lot of people ask why we moved it, and it was clashing originally with the Las Vegas event. So we really didn't want to, like, you're competing for speakers and sponsors and stuff like that. So October's a good time. Montreal's, the weather's not turned too bad. So, you know, people can still be outside in patios and stuff like that. People still want to travel. It's outside of the summer. Everybody's got their summer holidays over. So October seemed like a good time to get going again.
It's a great city. One of my favorite to visit. And it's far from where I live. So it's a great excuse to come down. You guys, you mentioned competing for speakers, and you guys have really done a great job putting together an incredible lineup of people this year.
It's nice because when we started this whole conference, I had no real presence, or, you know, I'm not a Bitcoin media personality. So trying to get people to come to conferences to speak was kind of, that was difficult. You're kind of just knocking doors and doing stuff like that and cold calling people. But I think really with the network we have, and, you know, the people who have attended the conference have really been spreading the word a lot to, you know, a lot of the American speakers, a lot of the Canadians. And we've just kind of, if we didn't get someone maybe the first year, or we got them the second year to come, and, you know, even this year, then we have a lot of people coming back again, a lot more Canadians this year as well. And then, a few more American and even European speakers. So, yeah, great, a great lineup. And, you know, always everybody we have is on point on Bitcoin point. Bitcoin or Bitcoin adjacent is what we try to strive for. And, it's just usually I talk to the speakers, I get a good vibe, you know, I enjoy listening to them. I think most of them have a good message, and then that's how it goes. That's, you know, we bring them on board. So that's how it goes.
It's the conferences are always cool. I think this is very true of Canadian Bitcoin Conference, kind of because of the size of the event, that you often do have an opportunity to meet the speakers, talk to them if you try. And, you know, even for me, it's still a cool thing to, you know, make the connections. Like, I think the coolest part of events are the human connections that happen there. Last week's episode of the show, I have my Canadian Bitcoin Conference story to share. Our guest last week was Saif Dean Amous. And as you'll remember, Saif was meant to be sort of like the keynote speaker at the Montreal Conference of 2024. And actually, with the scheduling of it, I was scheduled to speak immediately before him. So I was like, you know, so excited about it. I was going to have this opportunity. We can be backstage with him at this moment. And then the Canadian government decided not to let him into the country because he was speaking at a Bitcoin conference, which is a crazy thing on its own. Anyways, that was kind of my didn't happen. And then actually, ironically, the first time I ever had the opportunity to speak with him was recording the episode that was last week's episode. So that was pretty cool. You know, without slighting anyone, because obviously you can't name anyone, is there anybody that you'd like to highlight for the listeners? Is like somebody that you're really excited decided to come and speak, or somebody who's new from last year? Or
yeah, we have a few. I mean, a lot of the ones that came back. Lawrence Lepard is always, you know, great to have on board. Another one, actually, Sonny Ray. I'm not sure if you know Sonny Ray. He's from Toronto. Spoke at the first event. You know, again, brilliant guy. I've talked to him quite a few times, and you know, we'll share texts and stuff like that. You know, Francis is speaking. Is always a really Francis always brings really good signal, and I think it's been great for us to ride his kind of his tailcoat in terms of, you know, he's such an innovator in the space and you know what they're developing and Francis are developing, and he usually makes an announcement at the conference. So usually last year they made a few announcements and they were great. So yeah, Francis is always great. Tomer as well. I don't know, you probably know Tomer Strohlite.
Yeah, we've had Tomer on the show. He was a great guest. It's a long time ago now, but yeah.
And I think, do you know, funny, there's a memory of, if you remember, you and I and I think John Eli and we're having a beer outside a bar in Madeira. I don't know if you remember this. And yeah, this was last January or last February. I left there and I met Tomer coming up, walking up the street. he was just jumping out of a taxi, and that was the last time I seen him. So we had him the first year of the conference. He's coming back, and he's again such a cool guy. You know, great ideas. You know, great communicator, and really love Tomer as well. We have on the kind of, I guess, the Bitcoin treasury side. You know, some of our attendees, when I go out and start to talk about topics with people, you know, people kind of throw all sorts of things at you. Obviously, the big topic now is the Bitcoin treasury companies. So we reached out to some of the Strive people and some of the MSTR True North. So Jeff Walton is going to be there he is VP at Strive, I think it is now. He's up there with the all the MicroStrategy guys. So anyway, he'll be there. There's a few other as well. Pete Rizzo's coming in from Bitcoin Magazine. He's usually a good speaker. And yeah, lots. Like, we have a massive lineup of people. There's about 70 speakers overall over the 2 days, over kind of two stages. So it's, I'm really, really excited. It's come together really well. You know, we don't, like, people have asked about headliners and we've tried to get a few kind of bigger names. It's a little difficult with the smaller conferences to bring people in. But I mean, really, the people that are coming are so cool. For me, anyway, I'm a bit of a fanboy. I can talk to these people and, you know, and like you say, you get nervous and you're like, you love talking to them in person. But yeah, it's a great lineup.
Yeah, no, you guys have done an incredible job. You know, I think it's, I always kind of tell people, I mean, meet people at our local meetups or, you know, talking online where it's like skeptical about the value of going to conferences. And I can't say enough for me personally. I think what the energy and what happens there is so cool. It's something that is totally worth seeing for yourself if you haven't been to a conference before. And you guys really have done like an incredible job with the lineup. Like, this one is one that I'm personally really excited for. So yeah. And you mentioned the corporate treasury guys. We did an episode on corporate treasuries in August, and yeah, it's a big topic in Bitcoin right now. Actually, right just now, I mean, there was just this merger announcement between Strive and Semler Scientific. And you guys, one of the things that's cool this year that is new is you've organized the corporate day for more of a business focused Bitcoin workshop. And maybe we could just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we have a couple of things going on the Thursday. So that's the 16th of October. So I kind of, again, you know, these are ideas that come out of, and you know, other conferences are doing similar things. But, you know, for me, when I talk to, you know, even the likes of yourself or, you know, the Bull Bitcoin guys or, you know, some other of the Bitcoin businesses that are out there, in terms of sponsoring or getting the most out of the events, standing at a booth or just speaking on stage is maybe not the best way for them to connect with, you know, the people that they want to connect with. So, you know, when we talk to people, we try to take that feedback. And one of the feedback, main feedbacks out of that was, is that, you know, there are Bitcoin businesses out there that want to make connections with new businesses. So we, you know, we have the venue for a few days as well outside of the conference. The space is really, really flexible. So we can kind of create that classroom setup. And yeah, we put together, you know, a really good host of educators. And hopefully this will roll out into something bigger. Like I would like to see this, you know, going to other cities in Canada. But we have the idea behind it is any business owner, any kind of, you know, hotelier or, you know, property owner or, you know, person who has would like to integrate Bitcoin into their business. This hopefully gives them a bit of a first step. And, you know, takes them through the whole process. Because as you and I know, I mean, we're living in the Bitcoin space for a number of years now. You almost forget that there's people out there that know nothing about Bitcoin. So these business owners that have been focused for 10, 15 years building their business, and now they want to, you know, really secure it or really take it to the next level. So yeah, starting on the Thursday at kind of 10 o'clock, there's a bit of a workshop, you know, what is Bitcoin, you know, how bit of a background, why you would want to integrate with your business, that sort of stuff. And then going through all the steps of, okay, you know, if you have, if you start to accept Bitcoin or you have Bitcoin on your balance sheet, what does it look like to pay your staff in Bitcoin, to put it into a savings account, you know, similar to what Alexia yourself does. And then even self-custody, if you're putting it away for a rainy day or it's a savings account. And then in terms of, you know, what that looks like from a reporting perspective, you know, if you're reporting to the CRA or, you know, if you're buying products that include life insurance, we have some of that. And the legal aspects in terms of compliance with, I think it's FEMA or what do you call the financial organizations in Canada? But anyway, so trying to give people and get creating a setup where it's not too overwhelming for people. Because I think, you know, from an education space, and I did some education and you know, from my engineering background, but, you know, you want people almost peer-to-peer learning. And you'll have a facilitator there, you know, putting out topics and talking about things, but you almost want people learning from other people as well and talking at the table. Similar, you know, I think from the setup I saw at Learning Bitcoin, that's, you know, what they had tried to do as well and successfully. So yeah, that's the idea. And hopefully this is a first step in, you know, maybe taking this across Canada where we can start to get more businesses involved in Bitcoin and supercharging their business.
Yeah, it's a really interesting time in the history of like the adoption of Bitcoin that you have now some of massive publicly traded companies kind of really leaning in, creating innovative strategies, and no strategy pun intended. And then at the same time, the vast majority of companies would probably still be very hesitant or maybe even think the idea itself is silly. So. And then somewhere in the middle, we've got a bunch of curious people, hopefully, that are, you know, and it would have been like this. I think about this all the time, but, you know, it had to be the same way when companies were first trying to understand how they might integrate themselves or be involved with the internet. And John loves to tell this story about how at some point in the mid-90s, McDonald's didn't actually own McDonald's.com. Somebody else owned it. And they didn't understand that. They didn't have like the right, like they just didn't, like it wasn't a preordained thing. And yeah, you know, that was only like 25 years ago, 30 years ago. So things, you know, things change a lot faster than people realize. And, you know, that story today is almost unimaginable. I totally remember, you know, these like in the late 90s when I was in university, like people really didn't understand how the internet was going to be monetized. Like there just wasn't a business model for how you make money. And people thought that Jeff Bezos' idea of selling books online was kind of stupid. And again, like, you know, here we are. So I totally think, I think we're at that moment. And so for this reason, I think that the corporate workshop is such a cool idea because we're just now getting to a place where stuff like this is possible. And it sounds like you've built up a nice long list. So I guess that this is there'll be a few of these shameless plugs, but if you are a business owner, or executive, and you're somewhere near enough to Montreal that you can get there, there may still be some space available. And this would be something you don't want to miss.
No, I was going to say, yeah, it is. It's a, you know, you're given the shameless plug, but we're really excited about this. I mean, this is, you know, coming from an engineering background and coming from an entrepreneurial background, businesses, I know myself, businesses are struggling. We're trying our best to kind of, you know, like you say, you know, what's it going to be like in 10 years? You know, are businesses going to have to accept Bitcoin? Are they then, what are they going to do with that Bitcoin? You know, our staff, are the modern workforce, are they going to be looking to be paid in Bitcoin? You know, looking for savings in Bitcoin? So, I mean, you live and breathe those questions all day.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. Like, we actually do talk to, you know, this same audience. This is why, you know, obviously I'm really interested in the concept, but like, I know all the time what we're talking to business owners every week that are at various stages of learning about Bitcoin and have understood that in some way they're going to have to figure out a way to start doing this. And, you know, nobody knows the future, but I think that the trajectory right now suggests that Bitcoin is going to become pretty well normal in just about every monetary, you know, every type of financial activity that can happen. So that would involve businesses in every number of ways. So, well, we'll see. The other thing, I think, I'm not a hockey guy, but it's worth mentioning, I think, that there was last year the first hockey game?
Yeah, last year was the first hockey game. So again, you know, we're trying to build, as well as the education piece, we're trying to build the community and make sure everybody has fun. I'm not a hockey guy. I mean, my early years were growing up in Ireland. I came to Canada in around about 2008, 2000, or 2009, you know, and didn't really spend too much time on the ice. So a few of the guys, Hodler's official, Corey there, I think he was down in, do you remember Pacific Bitcoin? Was happening.
Yeah. I went to Pacific Bitcoin in 2023.
Yeah. And I was following it as well. And I was following like Corey Klippenstein, I think it is, was posting a lot about the basketball games. And he was like, you know, talking about, you know, shit posting and, you know, beating everybody in these shootouts and stuff. And I was texting Corey from Hodlers and I was like, you know, it'd be cool to have a hockey game. I can't remember who came up with the idea. I think it was him, but yeah. Okay. And I was like, look, I don't really have the capacity for this. You know, I'm talking to speakers and building content every week. Like, you know, would you take this on? He was like, yeah. So him and I think one of Pablo from Panties for Bitcoin, his son was is also into hockey. So they took it on. Did a great job last year. You know, they had some really cool memorabilia. I went there, you know, and Joe Nakamoto was out. And he's British as well. So I don't think he knows much about hockey. So he was out hitting a few shots. And, you know, there was like hockey pucks with Bitcoins on them and you know, some cool stuff. So, yeah, it was really fun. They had an S9 miner, I think, with a Crypto Cloaks cover. And it's got like a gold cup, you know, like kind of like shaped like the Stanley Cup. So, it's all a bit of fun. I think the Bitcoin community is such a really cool space to be part of and community to be part of. That adds a nice fun element to it as well, where guys have bragging rights. And then, you know, it's kind of like they were all going out for hockey, they all shirts on, really nice, actually, hockey shirts, and going out for beers afterwards. So, yeah, really, really adds such a fun element to the conference.
And the Team Canada lost last year. It was a Canada-USA game, right? And so hopefully this year we can reclaim the trophy.
Yeah. Yeah. Brandon Gentile, I think he's coming to the conference. He's speaking this year a couple of times. He played last year. I'm not sure if he's playing this year. But apparently he was like a, you know, NFL or NHL hockey player, you know, back in the day. So yeah, that's hard to play against.
Yeah, no kidding. Is there any, like, you know, just thinking about, you know, other aspects of Canadian Bitcoin Conference, you guys moved to Montreal, you found this really beautiful venue, the Rialto Theater, you know, and then ultimately decided to go back and keep it in Montreal, which I think was a great choice. So like, you know, what have you learned now going on year three, putting on these events? And
what have I learned? That's a tough question. I've learned the days themselves are exhausting. Like I thought to myself, because I was Manuela, I'm the Bitcoiner of the family, and I kind of I pushed Manuela into doing this, and I was like, you know, we should. She runs corporate conferences for kind of insurance companies and in the financial sector, and she kind of, you know, takes people away on incentive programs and that sort of stuff. So she's been doing that for 20 years, and I kind of was dismissing the whole conference thing. I was like, organizing the conference would be easy, you know, just do, you know, just bring a bunch of people together. It's not that easy. It takes a long time. It takes a long time to tee people up and get everybody organized. The financial aspect of it as well, you know, can be challenging. Like, you have to be careful because the venues, insurance, travel costs, accommodation, you know, so that's been challenging. And then, you know, the physical or the kind of toll it takes on you as well, because, you know, I'm Irish, so I like a beer. I like to work hard and kind of party hard. So I, you know, thought to myself, right, you know, I'll put the work in, we'll do the conference. And then, you know, I'm going to, like, Saturday night, I'm going to, you know, go for a lot of beers. I'm going to eat whatever I want, you know, stay out. I was so tired after that, I couldn't move. There was a picture of me, I think, after the conference, lying on a bench, kind of after two beers, just sleeping, you know, because it's physically draining, and you have to be kind of on the go all the time, and you have to be sharp, and you have to make sure everybody's kind of doing what they're doing, because you're kind of managing and we live and breathe it for 7-8 months, you know, knowing who's done what and who's going where. And then you're pulling it together and trying to organize volunteers and venues and getting requests from people and slides coming in from people, you know, like 10 minutes before their presentation. You're like, one story, actually, I'll not name names because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but someone, I think it was actually the first year, but someone had sent us in slides one by one, like one email at a time. So, like, put in a slideshow, and this, you know, they didn't have a presentation all put together into like a 13 meg thing, or like even a Google Docs. It was like, you know, they did one slide email, did another slide email. We had to pull them all and combine them, and it was hilarious. So, and it was like 30 slides or something. So, yeah, it's challenging, but it's fun. You know, I really, in terms of contributing to the Bitcoin community in Canada, I think, you know, that was one of the reasons why we started it. We wanted to kind of do our bit. And I think hopefully when we look back in 10 years, we'll see that we played a good part of it.
Hey everyone, quick question. Have you ever thought about starting a video podcast like this one? I want to introduce you to the team behind my show, Podigy. This podcast has been one of the best marketing tools for our business. And thanks to Podigy, all I have to do is hit record. They handle everything else, editing, writing, publishing, and making sure that it's perfectly optimized for every platform. They only work with disruptors, mavericks, and changemakers, people making a real difference, spreading big ideas. Typically, Podigy is fully booked, but right now they have a few spots open for new clients. Listeners of this show get 10% off launching their own podcast or optimizing their current one. Click the link in the bio for a free one-on-one podcast planning session with Podigy. If you are thinking about starting a podcast or you have one and you want to take it to the next level, I can't recommend Podigy enough. Check them out. I know some of the other events, like the when it was the Miami conference and now Vegas, particularly, really noticed like the interest in the conference was kind of closely tied to what was happening with price and Bitcoin. We've been now on a pretty good, it's been a good year, not a great year for Bitcoin, but, you know, comfortably over 100 something thousand US. Have you noticed anything as far as the sentiment with the general interest of people who attend?
Yeah, I definitely have. And I think I have my own opinions about kind of how this goes or you know, and what we're seeing in terms of a shift. In terms of, obviously, the you know, our ticket sales are more than they were last year when the price was more at this time than they were the last conference, you know, and that's relative to price. So I think the price last time, April 2024, so it was like 40,000-50,000 or something Canadian. I can't remember the number, but I think it was around that. And yeah, I mean, the tickets weren't as strong as they are this year. And obviously price plays a big indication into that. I think the treasury company and the treasury, you know, theme is bringing a lot of more of the financial crowd into it, where people are buying tickets and come to see and get to talk to those companies. But I also think there's a little bit of a drag, and I think that drag is also relative to kind of the state of the economy in Canada. For me, I can see it in the different kind of groups, because you know we're promoting in different groups in Telegram and LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, that sort of stuff. And you can kind of see where the interest and what piques the interest to different people. And I do think that, you know, a lot of the you know, people who are interested in Bitcoin, maybe not early to Bitcoin, but have come in more recently. And I think there's financial struggles there in terms of, because, you know, traveling to Montreal and going to the conference is a big commitment for a lot of people. I mean, hotels and travel and ticket, like it's, you know, it can be a significant cost. So we understand that and, you know, we're trying to keep our prices as low as possible so that we can, you know, have a reduce the barriers to entry as much as possible so people can get in and, you know, get learning and talking to people about Bitcoin. But yeah, it's, so I think there's two sides of it. I think there's that side where the, you know, now that the financial crowd is in, I think a lot of that will, you know, continue to grow where, you know, a lot of them more focused on the price action than maybe previously.
Yeah. I mean, I was at the Vegas conference this year and there was something like 35 or 40,000 people. And the general comment I think observed by a ton of the people who had been there more than once was how many new people, you know, financial sector type people had made their way to attend. So it's interesting you make that comment. And I do think, you know, it's reflective of the success of the US ETFs and the different kinds of institutionalization we've seen beyond corporate treasury, things like a Texas State Strategic Reserve. Bitcoin is just being talked about in a different way. And, you know, to come back to the other part you were talking about too, I hear what you're saying. I think that we're in a very tough time in the Canadian economy, whether people, you know, how much you want to acknowledge it or not, they have really done a number on the value of the purchasing power of the Canadian dollar. It's observably changing the way people live their lives. And, you know, and you stack on that Canada's has always been a very expensive place to do domestically travel anyways. You know, it's like, it was always insane to me growing up in Western Canada that I could fly to London, England for the same price as it would be for me to take a trip to Quebec.
Yeah. And I don't know, is that an Air Canada thing or a monopoly thing? Or is that, you know, is that just, I mean, I guess it's, you know, it's probably the same distance.
I think it's a monopoly thing. You know, Canada is totally a monopoly economy and we end up paying more for everything here, right? Like cell phones are more expensive. Internet is more expensive. Everything's more expensive. Yeah, I think Dave Bradley, one of my favorites, we've had him on the show a few times, loves to say Canada's not a country. It's a resource extraction company. And that company's primary goal is extracting as much as it can from its inhabitants. And I don't disagree with him.
Yeah, I don't disagree with him either. And, you know, Canada should be, you know, for its people, you should be, you know, similar to some of the people that are. Yeah, it should be the Emirates. Yeah, we, you know, Canadians should be much better off per capita than, yeah. But I mean, I don't know. The thing that I worry is that I think Canada's going to have to get probably a lot worse before it'll get better. I think, yeah, probably a lot of people have that opinion as well. I think once, you know, there'll be it'll be cyclical where, you know, it'll keep going and keep going until there's a turning point and then it'll have to change. And then, start looking at moving resources or bringing resources out of the ground and selling them to other countries or whatever it has to happen. And then putting Bitcoin behind that balance sheet as well, or gold or whatever other kind of hard asset we can.
Yeah, you know, I love your comment about like, we'll look back in 10 years and think that this has been a positive contribution to the Bitcoin movement. And, you know, I think as you know, the same reason for starting a podcast or a Bitcoin business, whatever. Man, I believe that Bitcoin and an understanding of Bitcoin comes with it some responsibility to help other people along the way so that, you know, then that's how it works. It's a sort of cascading waterfall where it's just a matter of making sense of an idea that is weird and different than the other ideas that we've all learned before. And that's really the biggest barrier. And the reality is that Bitcoin solves a critical problem that is affecting everybody, every business, every municipal government. And so, yeah, I hope that you and I are having this conversation 8 years from now, talking about how you guys just cracked 10,000 attendees and the Bank of Canada owns 1,000 Bitcoin. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, hopefully it'll be 4-10 years, maybe in 5, we'll say that. You know, even as, you know, I have a lot of thoughts about this too. You know, I have young kids and hopefully when they're older and they're kind of looking at the history of, you know, what Bitcoin has done in Canada, or what are the evolution, you know, we can, and it's even cool now, you know, like me and Manuel and I try to talk to them and tell them, you know, look, you know, we've had politicians on at the conference, and we had, you know, those politicians, you know, like we had Joel Lightbound last year. And it's fun to kind of take, because they kind of see what mommy and daddy do, and they kind of, you know, they ask questions about it. They don't really know too much about it, but, you know, you kind of, you can give them a bit of context, and the older one gets it a bit more, but you give them context about, you know, we had a politician and this is a little bit political and we're trying to look at the money and, you know, one day this will be money or whatever. And they start to kind of put those things together, and it's a fun puzzle, and, you know, and, you know, the internet will be forever. When they look back at these podcasts, they'll hear me talking about them. And that's a cool kind of thing that to think as well, that, you know, if I'm not around, that they could still look on and listen to you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's funny. It's an interesting thing to think about how, you know, historians or people looking back at, you know, what these are really, truly still the early days of Bitcoin. And year 15, you know, it's another one of these funny things where it feels like it's been around forever, but the internet was invented in the late 60s and basically nobody knew about it until the 90s, you know? So that was like 30 years of germinating. And then I think for a lot of people with the internet, the first moment it became real for them was when, you know, it was, they had internet in their house or something, like that was the advent of the internet. And then from there, it was still like another 10 or 15 years before people were, you know, like using it prolifically. And so I, when I think about Bitcoin in that terms, it's really actually astonishing that in less than 15 years, a nation state adopted Bitcoin as a currency. You know, all the stuff that's happening right now, I was just mentioning, like Texas State Strategic Reserve, cities, like it's happening at warp speed. And we've just been so like, dopamine depleted, like we've arrived at this place in human society where if something doesn't happen in 6 seconds, we just don't have the collective attention span to wait for anything anymore. And but realistically, if it's anything like the internet, where it's happening faster, and what that would suggest is, like by 2035, Bitcoin is going to be completely normal and could be everywhere.
In everyday use, yeah. And the other example actually I like to use is the iPhone, or I don't know if it was an iPhone or Apple phone, but I remember when I was growing up and there was discussion about the technology around the iPhone and cellular technology. And I think, you know, when we had iPods and then, you know, early day iPhones and early day cell phones. And I remember hearing that the technology for iPhones was like, you know, 6 to 10 years out. The technology was there for touchscreen and wireless and Bluetooth and all that sort of stuff. But people were too stupid to understand it, and people wouldn't adopt it, you know, fast enough, or wouldn't adopt it, you know. So if you brought out and people like with touchscreens and wireless and Bluetooth, people were like, I don't want that. That's not going to work. So commercially, they had to incrementally drip feed it into people's, not consciousness, but drip feed it into their way of life. So, you know, you have iPhone 4 and it's got, you know, touchscreen and, you know, Bluetooth, and you got iPhone 5 and next thing it's got, you know, there's no buttons anymore and now it's full touchscreen, and then you've got apps, and then you've got, you know, and that's probably how Bitcoin is going to have to be worked. Like, it's going to have to be drip fed. And even I know from my own adoption, learning, you know, you kind of, you know, you start off with, you're like, you know, you buy it on exchange, and then you cold storage, and then you go, okay, well, maybe I do an air gap, and then, you know, maybe do it, okay, has to be offline, maybe do it with a battery instead of power, you know, and you do all these kind of things, and then you look at, you know, okay, well, now it's quite a big asset, now I have to look at estate planning, now I have to look at, you know, multi-sig. So, like, I think it'll be a similar adoption curve in terms of those things, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I love the iPhone story as well. In 2007, I spent a year living in China. And so this was just before the iPhones coming out. And my personal like iPhone story moment, I was at an expat bar with a Swedish guy that was living in the city I was living in. And he was running a Nokia plant, flip phones. And like, you know, prior to that, like, flip phones were like the dominant technology in the cell phone space, right? And it was like analog texting and that was it. And I'll never forget it. You know, I was like 26, 27 years old. And this guy, the Nokia people had just learned of the iPhone. Like it hadn't been released yet. So he's like canvassing this group of foreigners where sort of people from all over the world describing what they thought this device was going to be, you know, play your music and you'd be able to touch it. And what do you guys think? Like, does this sound like something you would all want? And I remember looking at me like, not honestly, not really. Like, I don't, I'm like, my flip phone's awesome. Like this, I just can't imagine how this would be more useful. And I have my iPod, you know, for listening to my music. It's like, people can't necessarily see.
You got a flashlight in the back pocket as well. And now you got all three.
Yeah. Yeah. So technology, you know, it has always been this way. It is always going to be this way. And it's a cool moment to be in Bitcoin. Maybe as we that might be a good break moment, Daniel, if we're stopping there, well, I'll just, you know, give you a second to sort of like, you know, plug the conference or wherever people can go.
Yeah, the conference, like I said at the start, it's October 16th, 17th, and 18th in Montreal. You can go to the website, CanadianBitcoinConf.com. You can get tickets there. We have, you know, it's really, I think it's a really, really fun place for Canadian Bitcoiners to come and hang out. You know, we got on the Thursday, if you want to play hockey, you can sign up to the hockey game. You'll get a jersey. You'll get to play hockey and you know, have some drinks with some Bitcoiners afterwards. If you're in the business, you can come to the business workshop. You know, you can learn about how to supercharge your business and integrate Bitcoin there. We also have a mining workshop, which is going on. So that was happening the first couple of years, and it's been really successful. People are learning how to build BitAxes at the site. So a company called Decentral, they help, you know, they show you how to assemble them, how they run, how to do some mining. So you can become a miner very quickly, you know, for a couple hundred bucks, and you can walk away with your own BitAx. And then we have a social event. We have at the Barbello in Montreal. So again, you know, they accept Bitcoin. There'll be a bunch of Bitcoiners kind of standing around having some beers. Really good place to meet. On the Thursday, on the Friday, then a bunch of really cool speakers. We have Lawrence Lepard, yourself will be there. John will be there. We have Pete Rizzo, Brandon Gentile, Brad Mills, Adam O'Brien, Jeff Walton, Tomer, Sonny Ray, Francis. You know, there's tons and tons of, and we're talking about kind of a whole different range of things. We got the treasury companies, we got, you know, mining, we've got the philosophy around Bitcoin, we've got ethical and, you know, community, circular economies. You know, if you're interested in number go up, you know, there's loads of that too. So we've got loads of great speakers. Over two stages, we're going to have really lots of cool sponsors as well this year, and lots of cool people are having booths. So we're probably just going to announce BitVault, BitKey. So BitKey will be a sponsor. People are selling lots of products. You can go there and ask about cold storage devices. You'll have Deal from QuickBit. You'll have Panties for Bitcoin, Fortress, Bitcoin Well, ShakePay, Constellation Heating, who are doing heating miners. We have Cozen O'Connor, who are a legal practice. Coin Cards, 256 Heat, Emberley, Beaver Bitcoin, BitVault, QuickBit, CNG, One Bitcoin, BTC Beef, Hodler's Official, Comply. So lots of really cool people if you want to talk to about any sort of aspect of Bitcoin, you can do it there. That night we have an invite only corporate event. So, you know, we talked about it previously, but again, along the treasury side, there's lots of kind of high net worth people, I think, that are looking to meet up with some of the treasury company founders and owners. So we're going to be having that. And there's a social event as well happening in 212 in Montreal. Again, there'll be orange lights and cool stuff and accepting Bitcoin and maybe some balloons and a DJ. And then the Saturday speakers as well. So all that over 3 days in Montreal. So come along if you're into Bitcoin. It'll be a good laugh.
Yeah, tons of good stuff. I'm super excited myself. And I know organizing these things are just piles of work. So thank you for putting this together. And wish you guys success. And yeah, if you're in the area, if you're anywhere near it, I mean, the great thing about Montreal area, Ottawa, Toronto, all these Southwestern Ontario, there's if you're listening, come down, check it out. It's going to be really worth the time. It's going to be incredible. And I might see you there. So thanks again for coming on, Daniel. And we'll see you in a week.
Thanks for having me.
And if you're listening and you made it all the way to the end of the episode, I want to thank you as well for tuning in, and hope to see you again next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Block Reward. We're trying to do something different here, creating accessible conversations meant for people who aren't obsessed with Bitcoin. If you found this episode informative and engaging, hit that subscribe button to make sure you stay updated with future episodes. Your feedback matters. We'd greatly appreciate it if you could take a moment to share your reviews and help us with our goal of creating Bitcoin content that is simple and easy to understand. Bitcoin has an important role to play in the future of finance. It will change the way we save, spend, and invest. Discover why Bitcoin offers a game-changing opportunity for forward-thinking employers by visiting blockrewards.ca. Block Rewards' mission is helping Canadian employers implement strategies for integrating Bitcoin into compensation and benefits, supercharge your recruitment and retention strategies, and help your team members plan for the rising cost of living by rewarding their work with the hardest money ever invented. Big shout out to Podigy, our production team that makes all this possible, and VMX Escape for producing our music. Bitcoin is an expansive and dense topic many people walk away from early. To Bitcoin enthusiasts looking for that podcast they can share with friends, family, and colleagues, one they'll actually listen to, we hope that is us. The content of these conversations is meant to be provided for information purposes only. Nothing here is investment advice. Bitcoin is a big topic. Be sure to do your own research before making any personal financial decisions. Thanks for listening.